This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 21, Araucaria.
I like her.
Eric's mind screamed as he made to shove himself away from the forceful woman. But she held him too tight, their lips pressed together. He wasn't necessarily against the idea of kissing a woman, but it was something that he had never really given any thought towards. He had never been an attentive person when it came to noticing or expressing these kinds of emotions. In truth, he wasn't even sure what he was supposed to be feeling here. But this definitely wasn't right. Her full lips were pressed against his face, urging him for more, and all he could think about was what she would do when she realized her mistake. He managed to weasel his hands between himself and the woman, struggling to grab at her shoulders as she drew him in closer. His fingers found purchase, and he pushed hard, prying his face away from hers and sucking in a deep gasp of air. As Eric stood there, mouth trying to form words, her large amber eyes searched his for a moment before she pulled back a step and gave him a once-over. The look of pure love and adoration on her face shifted violently into scandalized outrage, and she pulled back with a hand, letting loose a mighty slap.
How dare you kiss me? Like her less now.
Eric recoiled, stumbling back as his hand moved to rub at his sore cheek.
What the heck, lady?
He watched her puff up like an angry, moody child and pull back her hand for another attack. He retreated another step, pulling Atlas between them.
You kissed me!
She gripped the Arcanist by his floppy robe and pulled him aside.
Lies! You lured me here by impersonating my husband!
Eric backpedaled, moving around Barry as she gave chase.
Lured you? Lady, I don't even know who you are!
I am Pyra Folkgrave, daughter of Loghair, king of the Selkies. You will address me by my name or royal title, Queen of Ebra.
She moved around to the front of the large animal, cutting off his escape. Eric snorted, unable to resist the urge to roll his eyes at her petulant tone. He wasn't a child, damn it. He had an IQ of 155. She didn't stop her pursuit, and he stepped behind the prince.
I didn't kiss you. Maybe double-check next time before you fling yourself at a total stranger.
He rubbed at the growing welt on his cheek, massaging away the pain. Pyra blushed with rage, turning towards the prince and lashed out.
You knew, of course, and didn't warn me. Not that I would expect you to.
Varen looked shocked at the accusation, his hands digging around for his slate in his bag, but Evan came to his defense.
You do know he's mute, right?
Pyra, already fuming, looked on the brink of total volcanic explosion.
It's never stopped him from undermining me before. Speaking of which, why are you traveling with this imposter?
She glanced towards the false king.
A plot, no doubt, to supplant your half-brother with a puppet and take command of the throne for yourself.
When the prince shook his head, she let out a dry laugh.
Ha! Treason! Ondine, make sure my darling's brother doesn't escape.
The crimson soldier stepped forward, prompting the tiny dwarf to draw his knives and move in front of the prince. An unnecessary gesture, however, as the soldier stopped beside their queen. No longer in need of secrecy to hide from the royal guard, she pulled free her helmet. Pale white hair tumbled free and tangled around her curled horns that pointed backwards. Her features were sharp and her expression was stoic. Her skin was patterned in color like the bark of an oak tree.
Your Majesty, we must keep moving.
Evan nearly dropped his knives with the same speed that he dropped his jaw.
In a moment, Ondine.
Pyra narrowed her gaze onto the man who resembled her husband. They looked nearly identical, save for the shorter hair and the absurd choice of clothing. They stood nothing alike, however. Elias exuded confidence and calm control, while this pretender seemed to stand in a perpetual slouch of cowardice and uncertainty. But a clean shave and a new set of garments, and he might pass for the actual king.
You shall be my puppet instead, and take back the throne on my behest, not that of my weakling brother-in-law.
Eric folded his arms across his chest.
I'm not the king.
He said these words slowly, enunciating each one to make sure she understood him.
And didn't you just say that was treason?
Pyra's frown deepened.
Treason or not, this kingdom deserves a ruler that serves the people, not their own interests. You will take the throne, with my help, and you will serve as I instruct you to.
Wait, what? No!
Eric put his hands out, taking another step back. He gestured to a small group of friends.
We're headed to the swamps to see these so-called wicker witches. I'm not going anywhere with you.
My people are suffering under the rule of a malevolent tyrant, and I need your help.
Pyra moved closer, closing the gap between the two of them. Her face softened, and she lost the callous edge to her tone.
You could pose as my beloved, retake the throne from Lucien, and save my kingdom, my people, from the brink of all-out war.
Her brows knit together as tears welled up in her eyes.
You would be saving lives.
The image of the auction slabs flashed in Eric's mind. The face of the terrified girl, the one he had allowed to be dragged away and sold like cattle, had haunted his dreams ever since. But the growing pit in his gut pulled him back. He was no hero, no king.
Listen, I... Ahem!
Atlas, who had spent the last several minutes formulating an escape plan, found himself quickly reevaluating his priorities. This could be just the venture he and Barry had been looking for.
Excuse my interruption, Your Highness. Would you mind if I had a quick word with my friend here?
Pyra narrowed her eyes suspiciously, but didn't protest. Atlas tugged Eric backward until they were far enough away to whisper without being overheard. His false smile faded away as the others of their tiny group huddled up, including Bob, whose stench made it difficult to breathe.
Listen, before any of you object, just hear me out, all right?
He looked around at all the faces. Eric, reading the situation, knew what was coming. He let out a heavy sigh, but held his tongue.
Look, she wants to take us into the heart of her kingdom. Bastion Hall, the castle jewel of Ebonvale itself. And as king, you would have unlimited access to the trove of treasures. Treasures that include, among other things, technomantic relics. You know, the items you've been scouring the realm for?
Eric frowned and leveled his gaze at the Arcanist.
I've seen what this world calls technomantic relics. Junk. They're junk, Atlas. Even assuming they might have what I need, it's not a guarantee. These wicker witches are. Ah, but see, therein lies another benefit of acting the part. The Dredgelands are on the other side of the country.
That's a long way to travel with everyone and their granny looking to capture or kill you. As king, you could simply remove the bounties on all of us and use the royal guard to escort us to the swamps. It's all a win-win situation. Eric narrowed his eyes. And agreeing to this plan would have nothing to do with that royal treasury, would it? Evan peered his head around the prince's legs to look up at his friend.
Royal treasury? I like this plan. Plus, it might get us to Val even faster. And Undine there looks like she can get us there safely.
Atlas raised an eyebrow at the tiny dwarf.
I saw how you looked at her. What is it with you and wanting to climb trees?
Evan's cheeks began to glow red, but Eric cut in.
Varen, you know this woman. What do you think?
Varen looked shocked as all eyes turned towards him. After a moment, he made a few hand gestures towards his small mentor.
He says she's bossy and mean, but trustworthy.
Atlas exchanged glances with the others of the group, and then turned back to the false king.
Look, if you can play the part, sign a few bills, and give a few public speeches, I'm sure it'll get you to the swamps a hell of a lot faster and safer than opposing her highness over there.
He jabbed a thumb in her direction.
Besides, Tree Lady there will probably start breaking bones until we say yes.
Eric looked around at all the agreeable faces. He groaned internally, pinched the bridge of his nose for several long moments before he finally relented.
Fine, we can do this, but if it's too risky, we should have a backup plan.
Atlas grinned as he tugged against the other man, dragging him back before the queen.
Your Majesty?
He gave a quick curtsied bow and backtracked to the others. Pyra shot Varen a quick look.
I am not bossy.
She pushed her hands against her hips and turned towards the imposter.
Well, what have you decided?
Eric grit his teeth around his building uncertainty. He chewed his tongue before settling on the right words.
I'll agree to this asinine plan, but first, I have a few conditions that must be met before we leave.
Undine bowed slightly at the waist.
My queen, please.
Pyra held up her hand.
Name your price.
Eric exhaled slowly through tight lips. His brother had always told him he was a terrible liar, and he knew he was getting himself in too deep. But if this was what was needed to get to the swamps, he could force himself to play the part of the king. He raised a hand to count off his laundry list of demands on his fingers, but his words were drowned out by an intense boom that echoed through the forest. Undine hefted her halberd, taking a protective stance in front of the queen. She watched as birds scattered from their roosts and the forest grew still and silent. Evan looked around as he tightened his grip on his knives. Something in his gut nagged at him, and he could feel it through his feet, a rumbling. He barely had a moment to realize what was happening when a second boom rocked the ground beneath them, much closer this time.
One!
Before they could scatter, something massive crashed down out of the treetops, impacting the ground like a meteor. Perched atop the pale boulder was a tiny red imp. A smile curled around rows of sharp teeth.
We found them! Found them!
Akaz gripped a tiny handful of Grunch's ear and shouted,
Call others! Quick! Quick!
Grunch looked down at the group, realization slowly dawning. He threw his head back and howled. It was a deep, hollow noise that rang throughout the forest, echoing off the trees with a sound like a battle horn.
Now grab them!
Undine charged at the lump of a giant, her halberd poised for the kill. But its enormous, pale hand shot out with an unknown speed and snatched her up in one swift motion. The blade of her weapon had skewered the beast in its wrist, but it took no notice. She made to order her queen to run, but was only able to cry out in pain before she was whisked up into the air by the behemoth. Pyra drew a short sword from the scabbard attached to her thigh and backed up against the false king.
Ondine!
Evan licked his lips as he leapt onto the beast, scaling up the folds of its flabby skin, making his way towards the creature's head. The giant, unaware of his presence, gave a bounce of joy as he showed off his capture to his traveling companion. Again and again, the beast bounded up and down until the jarring motion knocked the tiny merc loose. Atlas, already scrawling a rune in the air, drew power from the earth beneath his feet, and the spell was ready to be recited. But the words never came, as something heavy collided with the back of his head and knocked him to the ground like a limp sack of potatoes. Eric turned to see Rassizi standing over their fallen arcanist. She looked worse for wear, her hair singed in places and still smoldering. She was soot-stained and covered with large gashes across her exposed arms. She had a broken tusk and a bleeding laceration above one eye, which was swollen shut. Her labored breathing did little to mask her joy as she swung the sword in her hand around to level the point in his direction.
"If you were trying to flee, you didn't get very far. Lucky for us."
"Wraith?"
Eric's eyes darted around the numerous shadows circling them. He knew the little bug was already spent, but he had hoped his shade-eater had something left to give him.
"Sleepy."
Silence filled his mind, and Eric knew he would have to figure this out on his own. He looked around to see Barry limping towards his fallen friend, followed by piteous whines with each step. He was in no shape to fight. Varen and Pyra had their backs to one another, swords drawn. Even Bob was bristling for a fight, but they were woefully outnumbered. The surviving members of Rassizi's army spilled out of the woods, weapons drawn. They were surrounded. A smile curled across Rassizi's bloody face.
"The Bandit Queen wants you alive, Your Majesty. But that doesn't mean in one piece. So try not to run."
Evan grumbled before he sheathed his blades.
"Damn it."
Knowing what was coming next, he took in a deep breath and plugged his nose as a large burlap sack came down over his head.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
I know. Yes, I agree. Completely uncalled for.
What's wrong with Bowie?
Oh, he's just complaining about his elbow. Your wooden girlfriend over there did a number on it.
She's not my girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Serious question, though. Is it because you're so short that you have this tree fetish?
Says the guy who tried to bone a rock.
Yeah, well, at least my lady love has the looks. We all thought yours was a man until a few moments ago.
Looks, right. One might even call her statuesque.
That's not bad, actually. I'll have to remember that one.
Enough about your bloody elbow!